on my lips and in each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. This gospel that we heard today from John 15, starting in the 9th verse, is not only very compelling, it's also very unusual. It really doesn't fit what we understand in this day. If we read deeply into what's being said here, if we just listen to it carefully, there are things said here in this gospel which are surprising for us. Here's how it begins. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." And then listen to this next sentence of his. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So Jesus did not say here, if you feel very loving, then you'll obey my commandments. He said, you will be in my love, you will abide in my love, if you obey my commandments. In fact, he says that because he obeys the Father's commandments, because of that, he abides in the Father's love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. And then he says, I have said these things so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. And then, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I'd like us to think very seriously about what Jesus has said here, because it should be a shock to our systems if we reflect on it. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Has it ever occurred to you that you can love someone because you've been commanded to? Think about this. Imagine, if you would, in your minds, and I suspect all of us can do this, the person or persons who you least like or who you most dislike. Just bring that person to mind now. There's got to be somebody in your life, in your history, or in your life right now that, you know, you just never liked them. Still don't. I mean, you might say, oh, God tells me to love them, but I just don't. You know, this person just really sets my teeth on edge. There's probably somebody like that in your life, right? Think of that person right now. Okay? Now, with that person in mind, all right, love them. Can you do it? No, you can't. You can't spontaneously bring out a feeling of love towards somebody who you really don't like or who you despise. You just can't do it. And that's where the secret is in this passage. Jesus is not commanding us to feel some way. He's not commanding us to feel loving towards someone. He's commanding us to act. He's commanding us to choose to act toward someone, whether we like them or not, in a loving way. The word for love in Greek that's used here is agape, which means benevolence, charity. In other words, to treat someone with great benevolence, with great charity of heart and action. So Jesus is not commanding a feeling here. He's commanding a way of behaving. That's what this passage is about. Now think of the story that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. Remember this story? There's a Jew who is beaten by robbers and is left on the road, and a whole bunch of other Jews of various stations in life go past him and do nothing to help this person. And then along comes a Samaritan, and he stops and helps this man up, even brings him to an inn, pays for him to be taken care of. The reason Jesus told that story is because the Jews and the Samaritans despised each other. These were not friends who already liked each other. They hated each other. When the Jews talked about the Samaritans, when the Samaritans talked about the Jews, it was like talking about dogs, right? They're just dogs. The Jews called the Samaritans half-breeds. They wouldn't let their people marry into them. They hated them. And so Jesus tells the story about the Good Samaritan because this man, in spite of his hatred of the Jews, of his despising the Jews, he's the one who stopped and helped this injured man on the road. He did what Jesus is commanding here. He loved that man. He didn't spontaneously begin liking him and then suddenly, overwhelmed with this great feeling of affection, pick him up and take care of him. He helped him even though he despised the Jews. And that's what Jesus is telling us to do here. He's not saying try to find in your heart some feeling so that even those people that you don't like, you're going to be able to like. It's not what he's doing at all. He's commanding us to action. Hi, Isaiah. Recently, I was told by a friend that they had gone to a wedding, and I heard that this also was part of a movie at some point. And in this wedding, the vows that were taken by the husband and wife were not that they would live together and honor each other and love till death do us part. They promised to stay together as long as love endured. Think about that vow. I'll stay with you as long as love endures. Now what they're promising is that as long as I still sort of like you, and this is a different Greek root for love, eros, as long as I still sort of feel affectionate toward you or I'm sexually attracted to you or whatever, as long as I still feel that, then we'll stay together as long as that love endures. But, you know, if it starts to get difficult, I'm out of here. That's what they promised to each other. What Jesus is commanding us to do is even in those hard times, a husband and wife promise to love each other, to love each other. That means even when I'm mad at you, even when we're on each other's nerves, even when we disagree badly about something, he commands us to that action. Charity and benevolence and care for each other. And that's the love that we promise each other for a lifetime. And that's how we get through those rough periods.